Warriors Harvest. I believe you know that I'm a civil engineer as well as a priest. Often asked now how I manage to keep these two titles, priest and engineer, in balance, how I find the time. However, in common with many of you here, I have many other titles too that need to be kept in balance. Many of these titles will be familiar to you. Indeed, you'll have many more to keep in balance, I think. You can perhaps think of them. What are mine then? In no particular order, father, husband, painter and decorator, driver, amateur plumber, estate keeper, become gardener, accountant and lender of first resort, and civil engineer and priest, of course. I used to keep pigs, so I can be called a farmer, an ex-farmer too. But these titles come with their own set of duties, doesn't it? And where these duties are onerous or left undone, very soon they generate and morph into worries. Numbers are falling at our services. We struggle to pay our parish share. Maybe my employer is expanding too fast and things could go badly wrong. My middle daughter seems to be unhappy with her job again. Will she ever settle? I've not finished redecorating the bathroom. The fuel crisis means I have to do all the driving because I have the electric car. The ivy in the woods is pulling down the trees, especially on a windy day, but I don't seem to have time to cut it. And how in these times will my daughters ever afford a home of their own? It's not that my situation is bad, as some. I live a pretty settled and law-abiding life, really. I'm not rich to the extent I'm insulated from the buffeting of life, but I have enough to keep body and soul together, as it were. I've learned enough to earn a crust, but still I worry from time to time. Indeed, I worry quite often. Turning to today's gospel, we see Jesus sitting on a mountainside, surrounded by a great crowd. He is delivering the Sermon on the Mount. I wonder, when you picture this scene, where do you put yourself? Perhaps like me, you put yourself somewhere on the slopes, looking up at the master, hanging on his every word. But let's today, just today, climb to the top and stand by our Lord for a moment and look down. What faces will we see? I think, except for the first century attire, the faces we see will be pretty much similar to ours. They will be people from time to time that think ill of their neighbour, whose eyes occasionally wander, who like some recognition from their fellow man for our generosity, who seek restitution often rather than resolution when we feel wronged, who sometimes judge others differently from the way we judge ourselves. When all we read on the Sermon of the Mount, we see that it is to these sort of people like us, that the sermon is directed. People who are not so well off, they are cushioned from day-to-day worry entirely. People have some savings and some education, and they're reasonably satisfied with their lives. Everything Jesus says to them, to us, is provocative and challenging. And the challenge today is not to worry. Today's epistle challenges us still further when it speaks of the pursuit of money. People who want to get rich, who worry about the acquisition of wealth, fall into a trap, Paul says, a trap that leads to ruin and destruction. So what does the propensity to worry have to do with the harvest, illustrated so well in the reading from the prophet Joel? Well, both suggest a harvest of sorts. All things, it seems, have a harvest. The fields yield their grain in Judah and in Kent. The olive trees, their olives, and the apple trees, their apples that haven't blown off by now. All harvests require work to make the crop thrive. The honest farmer must till and fertilize the soil if the wheat is to grow to an abundant harvest. Jesus and Paul warn us of another harvest that, like those of the field, also takes similar work in tilling and fertilizing if it is to grow. The seeds of the worry plant must be sown in the soil of doubt. The young worry plant must be fertilized by dwelling on the negative and ignoring the good. The labor of worry is the setting of our whole hearts on the running after ever better clothes, the food, and yet never seeming to attain those things that we tell ourselves mean success. The harvest of worry is being the acquisition of such things at the cost of what makes us human. Then the mature worry plant is harvested by deciding to stay where we are and take the easy choice, because otherwise We will know, we know, we will surely fail. In saying, do not worry about tomorrow, Jesus is not telling his followers that tomorrow is of no consequence or concern, or that it should not be prepared for. Rather, he is warning against the labor and harvest of worry. The gospel guides us to the labor of seeking his kingdom, rather. The harvest of which we are assured is both the clothes and food that we need, and the benefit of being a community with him and those around us. But the harvest of the kingdom is stepping out in faith to do that which would otherwise be impossible, because we no longer do it alone. Because we know when it is too hard, the Lord's hand will be there to guide and protect, to till and to sow. Nor is Paul railing against money as such. After all, he often asks for stuff from those he meets. Rather, he is warning that the harvest of the pursuit of riches for their own sake is a gaining of cash at the cost of the loss of its value. All harvests require work. We are right at this time to applaud the work of those who grow, harvest, and distribute our food, and to thank God for the environment in which we grow them, and thank those who brought the gifts to our church. But our reading also warns of worry's harvest. Being so worried about bums on seats that I fail to notice hungry children or learn more about Jesus. Of being so worried about my daughter's future that I fail to hear her voice today. Of not seeing past the ivy to hear the peace all around me. Well, when the wind's not blowing. Maybe all my worrying has stopped me striving for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and stopped me seeing that if I do, all these things will be given to me as well.